are you guys this morning? Good. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Hey, I just want to say thank you for being here. You know, we're grateful for our worship team. We're grateful for our media team. We're grateful for our pastor as he leads. But church isn't the same without you. And it's really weird to be in here and preach by yourself. I've done it a couple 800 times because I feel like you should practice. But it's different when you guys are here. So thank you guys for being here. We're glad that you're here. If you have a Bible, will you turn in it to Matthew chapter 1? And we're going to read verses 18 through 25 today. Pastor, last week kind of started this series that we're doing in Christmas. And I don't know about you, but you ever find yourself or you've heard that story before so you tune out? I'm the only one. Okay. Thanks for being honest. I've heard that before, and we come to Christmas, and we've heard the story, and we heard the story, and sometimes we get callous to the story. And today, I just want to remind you that Jesus, the King of the universe, put on flesh and bone, and he moved into the neighborhood, that he came to live as a child to save us and from our sins. And today, I'm going to highlight this man, Joseph. Last week, we talked about Mary, and Pastor Duane illustrated how excited possibly Mary was. She was expecting to be married, and she was planning things out. Well, today we're going to look at the other side of the story, and we're going to look at Joseph. And I'm excited for you because God wants to speak to you. Do you believe that? I believe that too. And so we're going to jump in. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And here's what it says in the NIV. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is living and active. Lord, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, today I ask that you would use this word to sharpen us. God, I pray that you would work and that you would open our ears to hear. God, I pray that we would be good soil. I pray that you would move in a way that you get glory. In your name, amen. In this account of the birth of Jesus, we see God's heart revealed through the man that God chose to be Jesus' stepfather. As last week's pattern, Pastor Duane talked about what do we know about Mary. So today I want to do the same thing, and I want to highlight what do we know about this man named Joseph. Well, we know his name was Joseph. Dude, I did a lot of research this week, okay? He was of the lineage of David. That was in there too. He was a carpenter, and we understand that a better way to say this in our vernacular is he was a contractor. He built stuff. He built with stones. He built with wood. He built all kinds of things. He was a contractor. He was engaged or married to Mary. Do you guys ever read the Bible and get confused? And I love this because he's engaged to her, and then he's going to divorce her, and I don't understand how that works. I do understand how it works because I've studied the culture. In their time and in their era is when they got engaged, they had signed the contract. This is legally binding, and for them to end this engagement, he has to actually divorce her. And so there's no contradiction in here. He's engaged to her, but he hasn't finalized the marriage yet, okay? He was a righteous man, is what the scripture said, and that he heard from God, and he was obedient. But I want to, if you'll allow me, put us in this situation. What would it have been like to be Joseph right here in this spot? Joseph was pledged to be married. He was excited. How many of you guys remember the last week of your wedding, right before you got married? Does anybody remember that? Were you excited or were you like, ah? No, most of the time, I'll just be honest, we were like, ah, because she was like, what if we did this? And you're like, we've already made plans. We are not adding one more. Anyways, Joseph was excited. Joseph was excited. He was anticipating. He was in love. He was excited. And then all of a sudden, she comes in and says, "Hey, I have something to tell you. I am pregnant." And he's like, "Wait, we didn't do that." Right? And he's hurt. He's upset. He's angry. He's out punching the sheep in the backyard because he's so mad. He's throwing axes. He was a carpenter, okay? He's hurt, but instead of responding out of his pain or in retaliation for being wounded, this man reflects God's heart. See, like Joseph, we can reflect God's heart, especially during this season when people's ears and people's hearts are a little more open to a baby that we call Lord. See, the first thing I see about Joseph, Joseph reflects God's heart. Joseph showed grace and mercy. In verse 19, it says this: he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Understand the culture of their day. A woman in Mary's situation, in Mary's circumstances, because she was pledged to be married, she broke the contract. And she broke the contract. Joseph had every right culturally to take her before the whole entire city, and everyone would grab rocks and throw rocks at her till she's dead. She had broken it, and she had broken it by getting pregnant. This is a capital offense. This is something in their culture and in their day deserved death. And Joseph, even before God speaks, even before God appears to him, Joseph reflects God's nature. Instead of having her stoned, instead of having her publicly persecuted, Joseph was merciful and gracious to her. He was kind. He shows God's heart even before God spoke to him. Joseph planned on divorcing her quietly instead of exposing her to public shame or the societal norms. Joseph planned to instead of finalizing the marriage, he plans to just void it. He'll take care of it privately. He breaks off the engagement. Rather than having her killed, he spares her life and plans on handling it privately. Again, Joseph reflects God's heart. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, it says this: "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works that anyone can boast." See, in her day, she deserved death. In her culture, she was gone. At that time in history, she deserved to die. Mary, according to the customs, was dead in her transgressions. She was pledged to be married, and she was pregnant with somebody else's baby. But Joseph shows her grace and mercy. See, God shows us grace and mercy. He shows us his extravagant grace, in that when we were dead in our transgressions, he gives us life in Christ. Joseph did not save Mary because of her deeds. Mary didn't do anything for Joseph to show mercy to her. And we don't do anything to receive God's mercy. We respond because God, who is rich in love, died in our place. See, Joseph reflects God's heart. He shows mercy to this woman that's sentenced to die. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 7 says this: "But when the kindness and the love of our God and our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." See, God put on flesh and bone. He came to walk this earth. The Christmas story is not just a story about a little baby in a manger, but it's about the God of the universe who put on flesh and bone so he could relate to us, so that he could live a sinless life, so he could take away our sins because we deserve to die. God took on showed us grace and mercy. Joseph showed grace and mercy. He reflects God's heart. The second thing I see that Joseph does is Joseph shows love and forgiveness. Joseph shows love and forgiveness. Instead of being filled with rage, he acts in love. Even in the pain of his heartbreak, the woman he'd been married to is pregnant with somebody else. Somebody else's baby. He acts in love. John 3:16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be," what? "Saved through him." Ephesians 2:3-5 says this: "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature object of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved." 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." See, Joseph showed love. He reflects God's heart. Joseph showed love by taking Mary's shame. I want you to understand this. See, before he heard from God, he wanted to carry her shame. I want to put you in this picture. See, his friends would know what happened. If he divorced Mary, he's back at home, his friends come over and he's like, "Dude, why didn't you kill that girl?" His mom comes home and says, "Joseph, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Why didn't you punish her?" But God speaks, and in the midst of this, see, Joseph chose to carry her shame. Instead of taking his right to have her killed, he carried her shame. Sin leads to shame, always. Genesis 2:25, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." But look at what happens as soon as they sin. In Genesis 3:7, just a chapter later, a few verses actually, it says this: "When the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. They felt shame, and eventually they tried to work themselves out. They tried to work out their own salvation. They tried to make their own covering. They tried to do right and get all the right things so that they can be perfect because of shame." Shame. As soon as sin enters, they experience shame. They become aware of their nakedness and they try to cover it up. Because of sin, it brought shame. The prophet Daniel gives a clear picture of this, saying in Daniel 9:8, "O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, our fathers are covered with shame because we've sinned against you." Sin always brings shame. See, Joseph carried Mary's shame. He reflects God's heart. I already read to you John 3:16, and most of us in the room can quote it in some translation or another. But let me say this, or ask this: why did Jesus have to die? He had to die because we had shame, because we had sin. We know that Jesus had to die to pay for our sin. But we could say it another way. We could say it like this: Jesus died to take away our shame. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, at the right hand of God." Jesus came as a baby to take away our shame. He did that on the cross. And Joseph reflects his heart as he carries Mary's shame as Jesus himself comes to this earth. Jesus came to take away our shame. He does this by adopting us into his family. Just like Joseph adopted Jesus and carried his mother and carried the shame of his mother, he showed mercy and love. As Joseph carried Mary's shame, he gives us a snapshot of God's heart. Today, we know that God will show us mercy and grace and love because he came to this earth as a baby. He grew into a man and died on a cruel cross to scorn the shame, to carry our shame and defeat sin and death once and for all. Joseph took Mary's shame on himself and reflects God's heart. Why would Joseph do this? See, I don't believe that we can show grace and mercy and love and forgiveness if we don't have this third piece. See, this third piece, you can't do it without this. It says in this scripture in verse 19 that because Joseph, her husband, was righteous man. See, Joseph was a righteous man, and we, if we want to reflect God's heart, have to be in right relationship with him. We have to be in right relationship with him. Now, I'll just meddle a little bit. You guys know that going to church doesn't make you have right relationship with Jesus. Having right relationship with Jesus does. Right? Just reading your Bible doesn't, knowing your Bible doesn't make you have right relationship with Jesus. The devil knows the Bible. Having right relationship with Jesus means you have right relationship with him. That's what changes us. And see, Joseph was righteous. He was in right standing with God. Right standing is the simple definition for righteous. And if we want to show love and grace and mercy, then we have to be this third point, which is we have to be in right standing with God. We have to be in right relationship with him. See, there's nothing in Joseph's life that is causing separation between him and God. I remember in youth group, we did a sermon illustration once, and we brought up this guy that was dressed in a robe. He was supposed to be Jesus, and we brought up this kid that was, you know, snowboarding, and we had him stand next to her, and him and Jesus are talking, and they have this great relationship. And then he gets this snowboarding buddy, and he puts the snowboarding buddy between Jesus and him. And so now he's talking over around this snowboarding buddy, and snowboarding doesn't send you to hell, just so we're clear. I'm just using this illustration. Okay, he's got this guy between him, and then he gets a girlfriend, and then it's, you know, and then he's got homework, and then he's got these things, and all of these things, if we will allow them to, can come between us and Christ. And right relationship is allowing to have friends, but instead of putting them between you and Jesus, you just put them on the other side, right? Me and Jesus are right here, and snowboarding is right here. Me and Jesus are right here, and karate is right here. Me and Jesus are right here, and my wife is right here between the snowboarding and the skating, okay? Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Because Joseph was in right relationship with God, it enabled him to be more like God as he lived it out on this life. I love this. See, when we're in right relationship with God, it's easier to reflect his heart. Do you know that you become like who you hang out with? Now, think about that. Parents, that's scary if your kids spend the most time with you. The other day, I was talking with my wife, and my wife said this, you know, she acts like you. And I'm like, no. We become like who we hang out with. I want to illustrate this to you in like this. There's a man in the Bible named David. Do you guys ever read the Psalms? Do you ever read the Psalms and be like, dude, David's bipolar? No, seriously, think about this. David writes Psalms like this, and he's like, God, you're so awesome. I hate everybody. Smash their teeth. God, you're rad. Seriously, these are things that, like, Psalms that David talks about. He's writing, like, he's crazy high, and the next moment he's, like, down in the dirt, and the next moment God's so amazing again. And I love that God records the humanity of David. But do you know this, that the Bible says this, that all the depressed and lonely-hearted gathered around David. Do you wonder why he was dealing with some stuff? Well, what does the Bible say about this man, David? It says that he was a man after God's own heart. Who did David spend the most time with? Even though he was surrounded by everybody that's dealing with all this, he spent the most time in God's presence. There's a man named Daniel in the Old Testament. He's an amazing man of God, awesome heart, who does what no one else would be willing to do. But here's what we know. His job was to hang out with, like, witches and warlocks. The Bible says this, that Daniel was in charge of all the magicians and the enchanters. He was in charge of all the people who were supposed to study the stars and read all the horoscopes and things like this. He was in charge of the people who cut up animals and then read their entrails. This was his job, was to hang out and be in charge of all those people. But yet, what do we see about this man named Daniel? He wasn't like them. He was a man who reflected God's heart, because who did he spend the most time with? God. And if we want to show love, if we want to show grace, if we want to show forgiveness, if we want to show mercy, we have to first be in right relationship with God. Are you having a hard time hearing what God's saying? Check your relationship. Check your relationship with him. See, when we're in right relationship with God, it's easier to reflect his heart. And then it also leads me to point number four, is Joseph was obedient. This is just a fun word, isn't it? Like, if you want to fight with your wife or your husband, all you have to do is ask them why they're not obedient to you. Like, even children who know they're supposed to do what they say, if you ask them, why aren't you obedient, instantly they just like get roots and become more disobedient, right? This is this awesome word that we just love, but I love the illustration we see in this man named Joseph. See, he heard from God and was obedient. Joseph had a plan. Joseph's plan was godly. Joseph's plan reflected the mercy and love that he knew that God would show him, right? He knew it. He knew that this is the nature of who the God I serve is. This is a God that loves people. No, we're going to do it quietly. But God interrupts his life, interrupts his plans, and says, hey, listen, I know you have a plan, but I need you to do something different. Do you think that Joseph understood everything? I love, as Pastor Dwayne illustrated this last week, he talked about Mary, and Mary and Gabriel are having the conversation, and Gabriel says this. Gabriel's like, hey, you're going to be pregnant. And Mary's like, there's a problem. I have not ever done that with a dude. It's in there. You can read it in Luke chapter 1. And Gabriel's like, dude, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's going to overpower you. It's from God. Just trust me. And what does Mary say? Okay. We sometimes read the Bible that way. Like, Mary's just so spiritual. She's like, oh, yes. Dude, she was human. So was Joseph. They were human. And God says, hey, look, I know you have a plan. I want you to do something different. And I think Joseph's like, okay. He didn't have it all figured out. He didn't know in the end from the beginning. He only knew what God had told him, and he acted on what God told him. Too often in our own lives, we want God to give us the end, and he wants us to all the steps to get there. And the problem is, if God told you all the steps you'd get there, you would quit. So would I. And God sometimes says, hey, look, this is where we're going to go. It's going to be okay. And he doesn't tell us any of the journey to get there, and you're like, what are you doing? And there's other times he doesn't even tell you the end. He just says, hey, look, I want you to put your foot right there. You're like, yeah, but I don't know where I'm going. He's like, I didn't tell you where you're going. Put your foot right here. But where are we going? I don't know. Put your foot right here. I don't know where I'm going. Put your foot right here. And here's what I do know is if I put my foot everywhere where he tells me to right now, in 20 years, I'll be right where he wants me to be. If we will be obedient, God will see it. We'll see amazing things. God will be glorified. After he heard from God, he takes her as his wife. He takes her as his wife. He obeys. This could not have been easy, but he knew God spoke to him. He knew God spoke to him. He saw, and I want you to understand this. I want you to get this in your heart. If you'll do this, if you'll show grace and mercy, if you'll show love and forgiveness, if you'll be in right relationship, right standing with God, and you'll be obedient, you'll get to see things no one else gets to see. Do you understand how big this is? Joseph got to see the king of the universe literally birthed. Now, I was there when my children were birthed, and it was awesome and gross at the same time. And I'm oversharing, and I'm going to get in trouble for that right now. But guess what? Here's the reality. I want you to understand this. The emotion that Joseph, who heard from God, this is God's son. He doesn't have any I wonders. He has no qualms. He has no ifs, ands, or buts. He heard from God, and he's been faithful, and he's seen this lived out, and he gets to see something no one else ever got to see. He got to walk with Jesus as Jesus learned to walk. We sometimes forget these parts of the stories, but Jesus was fully man. He didn't like come out, and the day he was born was like, oh, and walking on water. No, he was a baby. He fell down. He learned to crawl. He learned to walk. And this man named Joseph, because he was obedient, got to see things that no one else got to. He got to see the living God walk this earth in a way none of us got to. And here's what I see according to Scripture is God's promise is the same for you. If you'll show love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, and you'll be in right standing and right relationship with God, and you'll be obedient, you'll get to see things that maybe no one else gets to see. And what's even cooler than that is the conversations. We don't know how old Jesus was when Joseph passed away. We don't know that, but we do see that Jesus was 12 and still had both of his parents when he was in the temple. And the conversations I have, my daughter's 11, she'll be 12 in February. The conversations I get to have as I tuck her in as an 11-year-old, those are the kind of conversations that Joseph got to have with Jesus as he sat on the bed, as he tucked him in at night. Can you imagine some of the conversations, Joseph perhaps going, hey man, what's heaven like? Because here's what we know, Jesus at 12 knew I'm supposed to be in my father's house. And the conversation and the depth of relationship that Joseph had with God because he was obedient, God promises to you. If you will do the same. If you'll do the same. And my last point, and yes, I only took 20 minutes. My last point is this, Joseph was patient. Isn't that a fun word? That's the other one that'll just get you in a fight with your wife. Just be patient, right? Or when she tells you. Joseph was patient, and I want you to understand this again. The scripture says this, that he did not lay with her until she had Jesus. And I don't want to be overly graphic, but I want you to understand, think about this. Guys, ladies are super excited about the wedding day. Dudes are kind of excited about the wedding night. That's true. And here's the deal. I'm illustrating this on purpose, and I'm not trying to be crass. I want you to understand this. Okay? Joseph waits a year. He waits till the child's born. He waits till the child's weaned. He's patient. This reflects God's heart. It reflects God's heart. I love the man of Joseph and how he is and the image that we have of him, because in the midst of this, see, we wouldn't do this. See, in Jewish culture, the marriage was not final until you lay together. It was not cemented. It was not binding until they had done that. The whole time Mary carried Jesus in her belly, Joseph carried her shame. He carried all of this because he hadn't finalized the marriage. He hadn't finished it yet. See, and if we want to reflect God's heart, then we have to be patient as well. We have to be patient even when we don't understand. We have to be patient with ourselves. And I'm not saying just, oh, no change. But the reality is sometimes we come to this place and we're like, how come I'm not like them? I've served Jesus longer. I read my Bible every day. How come I don't have what they have? We have to be patient with ourselves. We have to be patient with ourselves. We have to be patient with each other. I asked this question one time in our youth leaders meeting, and I'll ask it to you. How many of you gone to church, served God for more than 8 years? Do you know what happens if you go to school for 8 years? You're a doctor, right? Do any of you feel like you even have an associate's degree in Christianity? Right? And we get, and the tension of this, but we have to be patient with others. And sometimes our hardest problem is this, is you read the same Bible as I did. How come you don't do this? You're dumb. You ever think that? You ever think somebody, how are they doing this? Why are they doing this? And we're not patient with them because you learned it a long time ago. And sometimes we forget that people learn differently. When I worked for my dad, I always loved this because he would go to school and he would learn how to work on a copier. And then he would come back and he'd been doing it for school for months. You remember this, Mike? And we'd go to school and he'd go to school for months. He'd come back and teach us. And the next time we'd call him and ask him how to do it, and he'd be frustrated because we didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, I've only done it once. You ever get that way with your kids? You're like, don't hurt yourself right now, okay? You get that way with your kids, you teach them once and then you think they should know it, and 27 times later they're still trying to figure out how to tie their shoes. We have to be patient with others. And then lastly, we have to be patient with God. And here's why. God doesn't fit in your box. God doesn't work on your timing. God sees it bigger than that. And oftentimes we're praying, God, I need you to do this right now. And God's like, no. And if I give it to you now, you're going to actually fall in this hole and burn and die. And so I'm waiting, and you're like, God, why aren't you doing it? And God's like, I'm trying. We just got to work out all these other things, because it's not just about you. Because see, when I get you changed, it's going to change them, and they're not quite ready yet. So can you wait a little longer? And God's working all of these things, not just for other people, but for you personally. Can you be patient with him? Can you be patient with God? Can you be in the spot that you are like Joseph, where you're like, really? I don't see all the details. I don't know everything you're doing, but I know you told me, and so I'm going to trust you. Do you believe that God is living and active, yes or no? Do you believe he was in the Old Testament? He intervened in people's lives? Do you believe he did it in the New Testament? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Is he going to work in your life?
Yes.
Even when you don't feel it?
Yes.
Maybe you should remind yourselves. Maybe we should remind ourselves of that. See, to make this practical today, I'm going to invite our worship team to come. See, this isn't just about Christmas. This is every day of our lives. We can live this every day. We can show mercy and grace. We can show love and forgiveness. We can do this out of our relationship with God. See, you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot impart what you do not possess. If you do not know forgiveness, you cannot give forgiveness. And God came to forgive us. We do this out of obedience of Christ, not because we have to, but because of our love for him. Because I love him. And I'll illustrate it this way, and I'm going to get in trouble again. I hate feet. I hate them. They're gross. But I hate lotion on my hands. I hate it. And my wife likes her feet rubbed with lotion. And I try to avoid it as much as possible. I'm like, Ethan, go rub your mom's feet. Emery, I'll give you $20. No, I'm too cheap. I'm like, Emery, I'll give you $1. Go rub your mom's feet. But I do it even though I hate lotion on my hands. And even because I hate feet, I do it because I love that lady. And because of my love, it causes me to respond. And we don't obey Jesus because we have to. We obey Jesus because he first loved me. Because I was pregnant with sin, he carried my shame on a cross. He carried my shame. He carried your shame because he loved us, because he first showed us these things. And if we'll do that and we'll be patient as he works, we'll see God like no one else. We'll see God like no one else. These guys are going to sing a song, and then someone will close us. Can you stand with us real quick?